You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast with your lovely hosts, myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov.
Welcome back, Georgie. Good to have you on the mic again.
Thank you, sir. Sorry about the solo. It's always more fun to do it together.
But 100%, it's more fun.
Here we are, 53. Let's rock and roll.
Rock and roll. So what do we got for you guys today? Well, in today's episode, we got an interesting one. Like we always say, every episode's interesting. But today, specifically, we're going to be focusing on how to handle losses like a winner. And this is an important topic because at the end of the day, trading's not really so much about how much money you can make. That's the easy part. But it's more so about how much money you can keep. And if you can't take a loss with class, then sooner or later, you're going to take the mother of all losses. And that's kind of what we're going to discuss today is the psychology of why traders have such a hard time taking losses, the psychology of why humans in general have difficulty being wrong, and some of the lessons, or rather some of the strategies that you can use to, you know, turn yourself into somebody that is able to take losses like an absolute champion, because that is what's required if you're planning on sticking around for the long term in this industry. Now, before we get into that fun stuff, we are going to hear a quick message from our sponsor, TradePro Academy.
Thank you, Marky. Yeah, today I want to just share a message about how losing actually affects you on a physical level. I think one of the best ways to handle losses is to condition yourself to focus on the process and not to treat the result like it's the ultimate scorekeeper, if you will. Because once you start losing at the beginning, especially as a trader, what it tends to do is that loss ends up creating a pattern. We know that everything we repeat eventually becomes a pattern. And so if you're repeating the same thing over and over, you now write a pattern of you being a losing trader. Once you do that, it brings about sabotage in a very mean and strong way that could really jeopardize your whole career. So it's important before you even get started as a trader to have a psychology primer, something to give you that extra edge. A lot of the times we think it's all about finding a system or strategy, but more importantly, it's the driver. At TradePro Academy, we have a trading psychology course that focuses exactly on that. It fine-tunes your mind, turns you into a success machine, and the trading results come as a result. So check us out. Our trading psychology course is available in the Elite membership at TradeProAcademy.com.
Awesome. Thanks for that great message, Mr. Sponsor. And let's get on to the fun stuff. So why do humans and, you know, of course, we're a trading podcast. So why do humans and traders have such a hard time taking losses? So we want to spend a couple minutes here kind of dissecting this because I think it's important to note where the root of the problem stems from, all right? And so as a society, just in general, you know, we're conditioned to aim for a high percentage success rate, right? If you think about the general journey of society, at least in Western society, it's, you know, go to school, you get good grades, graduate, get a job, do well at that. And a lot of your failures or successes come as a result of how right you are or how wrong you are. And, you know, this is applicable to university, right? When you take exams, you don't get graded on whether, you know, you don't get graded on how well you do the process. You get graded on whether you're right or wrong, right? And then same in the workforce. You know, you do a great job. That's great. You keep your job. You do a mistake or something like that. At that point, you are getting, you know, you might be getting ostracized, you might be getting a chat with the manager. And so growing up through all these different cycles of our life, you know, we're always taught that you have to be right, you have to do things correctly if you want to succeed. And I feel like that for a lot of people is an attachment that they hold on to and they use it to kind of identify their own self-worth. Right.
Yeah.
So like a lot of us will judge our own self-worth on how we are right, which makes it really difficult to accept being wrong or taking a loss in trading, right? Because if we're predicating our own self-worth on us being correct, then, you know, taking a loss in trading or being wrong in general is a hit, right? It's a hit to the ego. And what it's telling us is that, you know, we're wrong. And the unfortunate reality is that not many people are ready to be wrong, right? Because we've been so conditioned to be right. And so that's the reason why we see it kind of, the ego takes a hit, and that's the dangerous part, right? Because the egotistic mind is kind of what controls us. And that's how we've been kind of brought up in society. So I'm curious to hear, Georgie, if you've got anything to add on that.
Yeah, absolutely, Marky. I think you hit it right, like right from the get-go. I think that's one of the biggest things, right? Like being evaluated in school, being evaluated in sports. There's all these evaluations. Everyone's just evaluating people.
That's
and
a great
so,
word.
Yeah, the evaluation is really dangerous because it does two things. Number one, it attaches a meaning of self-worth to somebody else's perspective. If somebody else is evaluating you, that's a very external process. So it doesn't really give you a chance to have an input in the evaluation. And the second worst thing about evaluation, think about the word evaluation. The word value is in there. And the second most dangerous thing is if you're being evaluated, that means there's a right or wrong answer. And so that automatically conditions you to look at life as if though everything you could do is either right or wrong. But the problem is, especially in trading, there is no right or wrong because that information's after the fact. By the time you know that your trade's going to be right or wrong, it's too late, right? Yep. Like you've missed the opportunity. Great, the trade was the right one, but you couldn't have made money on it because you didn't have that benefit of having that information. So I think being evaluated is a key thing. And if you think about another thing too on the loss is, and I think that's the next point we're going to talk about here, it's a good segue into it, is humanity is 200,000 years old, right? Online trading started in 1992. I think E-Trade was the first broker that really got kicked up in this industry. So 1992 is like 2 seconds ago in the scope of where humanity evolved from, 200,000 years. And so in that 200,000 years, we've gotten really good at being able to put too much focus on the unknown, right? Identifying fears and really coding a loss as something that's a negative in our society. So you're really going against 200,000 years of evolution. And I mean, it's a good thing. This is why we could have a podcast and you guys could listen to it. Otherwise, we'd all be dead. We'd be like the dinosaurs. All right. And I think this is an important point to mention right off the bat, is that loss is a very, very strong triggered reaction from your subconscious mind. And there isn't actually anything you could do about it. We'll talk about that a little more as the episode goes. But you need to understand it's a primal instinct, all right, and how you handle this information. And more importantly, all the times in your life that you've been evaluated, it's put a bug in the back of your mind to constantly seek evaluation. And this is very hard in this business to do.
Yeah, completely agree. And I think I see the point that you're trying to get at there, in the sense that, you know, if you look back at our ancestors, you know, they treated losses as threats, right? And when they perceived that threat, they tried to do everything possible to avoid that loss, right? So, yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, Marky. It's a little different doing it online with you. You know, I can't read your cues as well. I'm sorry to cut you off. You know what's fascinating about that is that back in the day, threats are different than what we call a threat today. You know what I mean? Like, just because the internet's down in your house, your router isn't working, and you can't tweet something, that's not a threat. You know, like it's.
I don't have any more espresso beans. I can't make an espresso.
Yeah, like, exactly.
There's a threat right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm threatened. Oh my gosh, I can't get espresso. Like you just said, Marky. And while that might suck, it's not really a threat. The problem is that your body doesn't know how to respond to different levels of threats. If it's a threat, it triggers the exact same response if you're out of espresso beans or if you're in the dark alleyway about to get shanked somewhere. Hopefully that's not a good example, but you know what I mean. And so,
knock on wood,
we're really triggering these small perceived threats we have today are nothing compared to what they were 200,000 years ago, but the body responds the same, whether you're being threatened for the safety of your life or whether you're being threatened for espresso beans. And we're going to talk about how to fix that in trading and in your life.
Exactly. And really the point that I kind of wanted to get across there is that, you know, even our ancestors, when they felt threatened, they would do everything possible to avoid that loss. And the interesting part here is that they, you know, as it relates to trading, You know, traders will do everything they can to avoid the sure loss. And that means that they're going to gamble and lose more. You know, they'll gamble and they can end up losing much more in an effort to avoid that loss. Right. So how, you know, it's interesting to me because it's kind of illogical, but it makes sense if you understand, you know, how the subconscious mind works, right? It's like, how would getting myself into an even bigger hole potentially prevent me from taking that thing which I feel as a threat?
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the, you know, that's the key takeaway here as to why, you know, if you're listening to this and if you've been in the position where you take a trade and, you know, you weigh out the risk and reward, and then when you actually get executed on that, as it's starting to move towards your stop, you start, it's like you lose consciousness and it just becomes a reaction. All right, it's coming towards my stop loss. It shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be taking this. I don't want to take this loss. Bam, there goes your stop loss. You cancel the stop loss and then it keeps going, right? If you see that as if you were a third party looking over your shoulder, you'd be like, what is this person doing? But to you in the moment, it seems completely logical because you're trying to prevent yourself from, you know, realizing that threat. But yeah, in reality, you're doing, you know, if you're looking at yourself, like I said, as a third party observer, you'd be like, what is this person doing? This is completely illogical. But to you, that's just the subconscious, you know, the subconscious brain trying to prevent you from taking that loss.
Yeah, you know, that's a fascinating point, Marky, because that's exactly what it's about, right? I think the problem with their business is that the brain that you learn with and then practice on sim trading isn't the brain that you trade live capital with. Yeah, so it's almost definitely like learning how to drive one car and then on the day of the race, you just switch to another one and expecting to get superior results. It won't happen because the brain you're thinking you need to use is the logical one. The one that when everything is safe around you, when you're comfortable, you know, there's no like risk to your safety, that brain functions well. But when there's a risk to your safety, like a loss of capital, and we said the brain does no difference between loss of money or loss of life, it treats it the same. You're activating a primal system that shuts off logic. This is good. You don't want your brain to be thinking about, you know, what kind of coffee am I going to have tonight if you're getting chased down an alley. It's like, just get out of the way. Yeah. And so when we start trading live capital, people say, wow, I feel like a different person. It's because you're using another brain. Like the brain looks like a whole, but it's actually different components that function differently. So the brain that you trade live money with is not the one you learned with. And that's where a lot of the problems come up, because then you experience a loss. Now you're saying, hey, I'm in danger here. You know, your amygdala triggers the response to release cortisol. Stress starts to elevate. And now you're in fight or flight response. You didn't learn how to trade in fight or flight, but now you're doing it in fight or flight. And I think that's where the disconnect happens.
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, you've got a way of summarizing things that takes me a while to get out, but that's why there's a two. Exactly. That's why there's a twosome here, right?
I couldn't imagine this podcast without you. I wouldn't do it.
I appreciate that. So, you know, further to what George said, if you reply it back to trading, right, this is, I think that is one of the big reasons why, you know, people that, like you said, they'll start off in demo, transition to live, say, hey, why am I not experiencing the same kind of results? You know, this is one of those reasons. And the other thing that I've kind of noticed, you know, being in the position that we're in, is that of expectations, right? It's right. Like everybody knows that trading losses are guaranteed, right? That's part of doing business. But like the newer, inexperienced traders, they're often surprised when those losses come, and they're not prepared for them because they don't expect it to happen to them.
Right.
Like it comes back to, you know, the idea of telling a toddler not to touch, what's it called? Not to touch a hot stove, right?
Right.
Like, don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. The kid's going to do it until, you know, they touch the stove, realize that it is actually hot, and then they're not going to do that. And for some reason, you know, I guess in this industry, I guess the way it might be marketed, but traders believe that, you know, the stove's hot. You're going to take losses. They don't believe it until they actually take the loss, right? And then they realize, all right, this is a little bit different than what I was learning, you know, maybe in demo or what I was expecting. That's kind of where this whole thing comes about, right? Is that, you know, when you're weighing out the risk versus reward, more often than not, as a newer trader, you're going to be focused on the reward, right? And you don't really you're not really accepting the risk until you put the trade on. And then at that point, it's no more, am I accepting the risk? It's, I'm taking the risk at this point. When you put the trade on, you're taking the risk. It's not a matter of, am I accepting it or not? When you take the trade, you're accepted. You've accepted the risk. Now, you know, you can't keep your mind on, this has to be a profitable trade, because, you know, this is where the social conditioning kind of creeps in and sabotages your, you know, your results, right? So like, to that point, you know, few traders focus on the risk before the reward. So I got these notes here. When they place the trade, they focus on the profits and they're not expecting to take the loss. Putting that trade on is not accepting risk. Placing a trade is taking the risk, right? And at the end of the day, taking losses, it's not something that we enjoy doing, but it's a necessary evil in the industry that we're in. And you're going to have a really difficult time taking losses until you accept that simple fact that losses are part of trading.
Yeah, you know, doesn't it almost seem like everything you've learned and everything you trained for as a trader goes out the window the second you click your first live trade? It's almost like, you know, as soon as you click that button, that's when the real job starts. And I find that a lot of new traders actually at the beginning have a stretch of success, whether they like buy a stock for whatever. I don't know why the industry is so cruel, but most people start out with actually a decent one or two trades. And really, this problem doesn't become a problem till you encounter your first loss. And then you realize you've only kind of studied one tiny section and you've missed the whole other part. And I think the reason is, when you start out trading, nobody starts out trading with the goal to lose money, right? So because you didn't plan for how you're going to deal with losses, you weren't prepared. Things that you don't plan for, you're not prepared for, right?
And but so but you sure as heck know how you're going to spend those profits.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. You've already looked up cottages, cars you're going to buy. So here you are planning how to make money, planning what to do with the money that you make, but you haven't planned about encountering the loss. And if you're not planning, you're not prepared. And so what ends up happening is you run in a not prepared situation, right? That erodes your confidence. It triggers, like I said, the fight or flight response, and nothing good happens. The best way to go about it is to be prepared from the beginning. I'm flabbergasted, word of the day. I've used that
a few times.
That's a big
one.
Yeah. By how many people get in and know where they're going to get out. Like, I'm going to make this much money, but they don't know where they're going to exit at a loss. And the time to be learning risk management isn't when you're live trading. It's before, right? You just have to plan for the losses. This is why losses are so surprising. It's not that losing is a surprise in this business. It just catches people by surprise, right? And that's where the lack of preparation comes. And we're going to talk about how to solve this issue, obviously. But I just wanted you guys to know that, you know, everyone goes through that journey. Live trading is a whole different beast. And most of the time, when you face like a really tough story that you hear from people in the industry or somebody who just started out losing money, it's because they weren't prepared for the losses. They never planned to take them. And now here you are with a new reality and you feel like a noob. You've downloaded and bought all these strategies, indicators, but it's like, hey, nobody talks about this. This is where this podcast could help you.
Exactly. So that's going to give us a nice little segue into the next section of this episode. And that is learning to take a loss. All right. Learning to take a loss with pride, we can even say.
Right.
Right. So as we kind of alluded to earlier, because of the way that we're kind of brought up in society, the cultural norm, or I guess the societal norms, a lot of your beliefs and attitudes about what a loss means will have the biggest impact to you in this industry, right? Like, if you take losses personally and you believe that it affects your self-worth, then you're naturally going to have a difficult time taking a loss. And in being completely transparent, you know, this is kind of the difficulty that I've had, right? And I still battle with it sometimes, but it's the ego part, right? You know, coming in, being a high-performing athlete, growing up and all that stuff, you know, perfection was almost expected. And then when you come into an industry where you might not be getting the same results that you're used to, you know, at least being right away, that kind of takes a hit on your confidence. And then if your confidence is, if how you... what's the right word here? If how you kind of value your self-worth as based on your confidence, if your confidence takes a hit, you're not going to be valuing yourself as highly, right? So I think for me, that was one of my initial challenges, was that, you know, being wrong in a trade doesn't mean that I'm a I'm a crappy trader. It doesn't mean that I'm a crappy person. It just means that I was wrong. You know what I mean? And it took a long time, a lot of losses to kind of beat that out of myself, right? And I know for me too, I tend to be a bit of a perfectionist. And you know, the next note here, right? A perfectionist trader will often see a loss as a failure and setback, which makes taking any kind of loss a real challenge emotionally. And this was definitely a place that I was at. And to the audience, you know, if you guys are feeling that too, if you're kind of like, you know, self-acclaimed perfectionist, or you know, you're OCD, or you've just come from, especially if you've come from an industry where perfection is a requirement, you know, something like engineering, where you get something wrong, people's lives are at risk, you know, being a pilot, etc., things like that. It's going to take some time to kind of overcome this, but just understand that the results aren't reflective of you, right? You got to detach yourself from those results. And I think that was a very difficult lesson to learn, but I'm grateful to have learned it. And, you know, I'm grateful to be able to have the means to share that message with you guys vis-a-vis this podcast.
I love that, Mark. And I think that you hit some key things there. Evaluation once again came up, right? Like,
yep.
We tend to think that any one trade is a reflection of who we are. We let trades dictate our identity. And I really think that's very dangerous. I just did a little bit of math here with the calculator. 22,000 trades is what you're going to make. If you plan to trade for more than 10 years, you're going to make 22,000 trades or more as a day trader on average. All right. And so here's the thing. If you don't plan to trade for 10 years, then why even start? So if you're going to be doing 22,000 trades, why let 0.0045% of the work affect your whole identity? All right. That's what you're doing. That's what one trade is. It's such a small quantity, but for some reason it dictates your evaluation. And I'll tell you why that's happening twofold. Number one, we're always taught to be evaluated. And based on the evaluations, we change who we are because we want to be accepted and do better next time around. All right.
Yep.
And the second thing that's really interesting about this whole approach is that at the end of the day, our identity can't change on such a small amount. Like if you're changing your identity, you won't get the trade 10 years. If you treat every trade like it's going to be the last one you make, it one day it will be. You have to sort of see this thing as a larger term and say, look, this is part of the plan. This is a planned and a controlled loss, and I'm going to take these. And the quicker you learn that losing is part of the business, you know, the better you're going to be out. I like to flip this and say, rather than looking at it as lost capital, I look at it as saved capital. So what? You got stopped out. You lost 5 ticks, let's say. You didn't lose 5 ticks. Now you have more capital than you would have if you weren't using a stop. It's more opportunity capital. So it's all about flipping this and learning to separate loss as in terms of the business of trading from who you are and being evaluated. All right, like look at social media. We have so much data these days, Mark. We can know who clicked, where they clicked, how long they stayed on a web page, how many likes we got, how many friends shared it, how many pictures they're putting up. Yeah. All this information is training us to make real-time assessments of our identity. And it's, I don't have a better word for it than disgusting. Like you're worth so much more. I wish that all of you will make millions of dollars in this industry and to find out that the money doesn't dictate who you are. So forget about the money. Forget about the losses of part of the industry. Don't let one trade change your identity. Your identity has to be strong, and your identity drives the results, not the other way around.
Exactly. It's a great point. And, you know, the one thing to kind of add to that is, you know, just what George said, it's a single trade, right? And if you take a look, if you kind of detach yourself from the result of that trade and just see it as a simple data point, right? It's just a simple data point in a larger set of data. That's something that you can learn from, right? If you see it as a trade and you relate or you attach that trade to your self-worth, then, you know, if you lose that trade, you're obviously going to lower your own self-worth. But if you detach yourself from that result and just simply see it as, all right, this was one of my 22,000 trades that I'm going to take, you know, it is what it is. What can I learn from it? Right? What can I learn from it? And if you take it from being something that's taking value from your set worth to something that's providing you, you know, learning opportunity to make the next 21, whatever it is, 21,999,000 trades, the best ones that they can be, perfect. It was worth the loss, right? You'll have an easier time accepting it for what it is, which is literally just a data point. And, you know, working out what went wrong is definitely going to help you feel like you have the power to prevent it next time. Right. So further to that point, if you take the loss, you just see it as a data point and you use it as a learning lesson to say, all right, I learned from this. If it's not, you know, a cost of doing business, if it's not a bad trade, meaning it was part of your plan, it was part of your qualifiers, part of your criteria, you did it exactly how you planned to do it. Great. You know, that's just cost of doing business. But if it's one of those trades that, you know, maybe you got a little bit impatient, maybe you didn't catch it where you should have, you chased it and it didn't work out, great, that's the learning lesson. You got to stick to your plan, right? So if that can help you prevent making, you know, it's not going to prevent you making any losses in the future, but if it can prevent you from making losses following a similar process, right, if it can prevent you from chasing the next time you see something like that happen, perfect, it was worth the lesson.
Yeah, and you know, and further to that, Marky, if you like, we need to be thankful. I think in this society, we got to be more gratuitous and thankful for the position we're in. Because, look, you should be thankful that the only thing you're losing when you screw up is money. If a pilot crashes, plane crashes, people die. If a surgeon fails, the person dies. All right, and there's a lot of outcomes that lead to people dying. And even if you strive for perfection, you're gonna fail. All right, people die in surgery. Planes crash. It's sad. It's tragic. All right. Thank God that you only lose money. What a great industry. Like, you're not, that loss doesn't equate to anything but just a fictitious number that humans agreed upon to use as currency. That's all it is. It's a contract, a verbal agreement between people that this piece of crap paper has value. And so, you know, what are you really losing? All right. You know, at the grand scheme of things, a loss as a trader triggers such mental emotion. But I think it's unfair to the people who really do, when they lose somebody, have mental emotion. Like we said, pilots, surgeons, etc. You know, our job is easy in comparison. Money's nothing. And I think once you start to realize that, it negates what a loss really is. It takes away the importance of a loss. All right. Yeah. At the end of the day, you're not losing your health. You're not losing your life. You're not losing things that you value the most. And most people who think they want more money, you know, don't want more money. They just want the experiences. And the experiences you want to have take less money than you think. Therefore, you could live a part of the experience that you want to have in 10 years right now. So learn to live today like the person you want to be in 10 years and remove this importance that we put on money. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And be thankful when you're wrong, you only lose money because you're in a good position.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And we're going to wrap this little section off with a nice little quote from, you know, one of the best traders. I mean, I consider him one of the best traders, Mr. Paul Tudor Jones. And this was a quote of his. And he said, "I think one of my strengths is that I view anything that has happened up to this point to be history. I really don't care about the mistakes I made 3 seconds ago in the market. What I care about is what I'm going to do from the next moment on."
Great recap. Like, we didn't even have to do this whole section. We could have just read that.
Oh, my God.
Love it. Great quote.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the little quotable for you guys there. And now, you know, at this point, we've kind of dig down into the psychology behind why, you know, people in general, why society in general has such difficulty accepting a loss, right? And then we've also spoken on how you guys can start to learn to take the loss. Now we've got the practical strategies. This is the fun part, and this is where the lists come out, as usual. So I'll start this bad boy off with the first on the list, and, you know, this is going to be the no-brainer. You know, you guys hear us mention this in almost each one of these episodes. The first tip to helping you handle losses like a winner is to build and refine a trading plan and strategy. All right. You guys have heard us say this so many times, and a lot of what brings about emotions is not having a properly structured plan, right? So before you can accept losses flawlessly like a winner, You've got to believe that you're able to produce results, right? Otherwise, every single loss you're going to take is just going to be an emotional roller coaster, and it's going to feel like life or death, right? You'll be ecstatic when you take those winners, and you will be feeling, you know, super low when you take those losers. And really, the only way to believe that a trading plan can produce profits is to actually test it, right? Test it in the markets, build a track record. And then when that track record is in place, you know, the trader will then understand that each individual trade in and of itself means very, very little to the overall result, right? And without having the plan and that track record to have the confidence to execute it, you know, losses are going to take on a lot bigger of a meaning to you because you're not doing it objectively, right? You're doing it emotionally. And, you know, it goes back to what we explained earlier, why it's so hard to take a loss is because emotionally, we have not really been brought up to accept that, right? Because that means our value or our self-worth is less if we take on that loss, right? We lose confidence. It affects us as far as our thinking, our decision-making. So the first step, obviously, as it is in most cases, build and refine that trading plan and that strategy. George, if you got anything to add?
Yeah, I think everyone has a trading plan, and there's only two types of plans you have. A trading plan, which tells you when and where to take trades, or a donor plan. You're just planning to donate your money. And why would you donate it to the market? Go actually help somebody if you're planning to donate, right? At the end of the day, that's a sad reality. And we've talked to this topic, I think every episode, we find a place to sneak in, build a trading plan. So if this is your first episode, fine. You know, there's a little bit of an opportunity for you to have some slack on it. If you're listed more than five, you know, there's really no reason to be approaching the market without a plan.
Exactly. So step number two here, once you've got that plan in place, you've got the confidence in the plan and how in your execution of the plan, really the next step is to reframe your beliefs about losses.
Right? Oh, I so love like this one.
Yeah. So like we've been mentioning, right? Losses are part and parcel of trading. So really the first step to handling them like a winner is just to accept that the challenges and setbacks are really part of achieving anything worthwhile. And one of the interesting insights that I actually learned from one of our traders in our community, and again, this speaks to the power of community, right, is he mentioned that one of the things that helped him out as far as accepting losses for what they are is to be grateful for them. Right, to be grateful for the loss. And one step further, he actually mentioned that you want to if you take the loss, you want to basically, how do I say this, you want to be thankful for it, but you want to be thankful for it in a way that the person getting that money does something, you know, beneficial to the greater good with it, right? So perfect, I took a stop on, let's call it the S&P 500. I took a $100 stop on the S&P 500. Great. I'm grateful for this. You know, I hope that it brings that person the abundance that they need. You know, whatever the case is, it's a really interesting way of detaching from the actual result and putting yourself in, you know, you're reframing your mindset from saying, all right, that's taking money out of my account. You know, I'm worthless, et cetera, to now being like, you know what? I took the loss. It was a good loss, and I wish the person that got the money as a result of me losing, I wish them success with it. You know, I wish them abundance with it, and I think that was a really, really cool insight from one of our traders, to be quite frank.
Wow, I've honestly thought about a lot of things, but that's not one thing I'd even like considered. I think that's a fan. I just learned it right now in real time. That's a really cool way to look at it, because at the end of the day, what do we want? We just want to be happy and be safe and do good for our family. That's what everybody wants. So if you lose the money, you know, who knows? Maybe the person who does make it on the other side of the trade puts their daughter through school, and in 10 years where you need a surgeon, she's the one that saves your life. So you're contributing to, you know, I like that. That's such a fantastic way to look at it. Whoever said that is really smart. We should get them on this podcast.
Yeah. And it, you know, we can kind of go down a rabbit hole with this, but
let's do it.
Know, at, oh, we're going to lean on you here, Georgie. But the idea of that is basically like you are your vibrations, right? So if you take that loss and you're feeling negatively about it, you are effectively emitting negative vibrations and you attract what you vibrate, right? So looking at it from that lens, you know, if you're taking the gratuitous side, if you're being thankful for it, you're sending out positive vibrations. And as a result, you know, that's what you're going to be attracting back to yourself. Doesn't mean that the next trade's going to be profitable, not necessarily, but it's going to, you know, what you give out comes back to you, right? So if you're giving out positivity, if you're giving out gratuity, you're going to receive that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be reflected in the next trade as far as it being a winner. But, you know, the vibrations are what the vibrations are. And I think it's important to note, you know, if you're coming from a place that you're emitting negative vibrations, you know, to say that you shouldn't expect a loss, you know, wouldn't be correct in my opinion, because you're emitting that, right? So that's what you're attracting. But if you're taking the loss, you're being grateful for it, you know, going forward, you might find that you don't take as many losses. You know, it could be something worth trying.
For sure. And like, you covered that very well. Like, I have nothing to add to the manifestation side. Everything's energy. Everything is frequency and waves, and you attract that what you think. But I think one more thing I want to just dump into this topic here, because I don't know if I get a chance to do it a little bit later, is this. You know, nothing is ever lost. Like, if anyone knows the theory of thermodynamics and, you know, just a little bit of engineering, I was trying to be an engineer at one point. I didn't finish school because I was trading. But, you know, nothing is lost. Everything is transferred. So, like, energy. Energy, typically, people say we consume energy, you know, so we're using it. You're not. You're creating heat. Energy most often is released in the form of heat. You're never absorbing anything. You're always transferring it. So let's talk about a loss in trading. So you lose some money, all right? And you start to get emotional. Well, guess what? You chose to be emotional. Anything that you have in life is your choice. And so if you chose to be emotional, of course you're going to be emotional. And then after emotional, you make bad decisions. Then you get more emotional. And that's one alternative. The other one is, what did you gain? All right? Like, electricity turns into heat. So yeah, you lose. But what was the transfer? What did you learn out of that? And I think with every loss comes a potential learning opportunity. The only time to me in trading that a loss is a loss is if you didn't follow your plan, all right? If you do a boneheaded trade and you get a boneheaded result, yeah, that's a loss. But who you got to be mad about that to? Like, yourself, all right? Maybe build some discipline. Any single loss in trading identifies an opportunity for you to improve. You're not losing, you're paying for information. And I got to tell you this, you go to school, you spend $50,000 to get an arts degree to work at Home Depot. I mean, you know, look, that's kind of harsh. But there is a form of reality too, right? We'll pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to learn information, but we go in trading and from day one, we expect to make money, right? You're not losing, you're buying information. So you appreciate that information. The fact you're not doing anything with it isn't the market's fault. It gave you information for a price. And so at the beginning, the last thing you want to do is look at trades as losers. If you're following a plan, what you're doing is you're buying information. And that information could be the basis of the profit the next day, the next week. You could revise your plan. The good news is, in this market, as much as you've lost, at the beginning your account's smaller, so you're actually paying cheap prices for very valuable lessons. Unfortunately, people don't treat it like that. Keep throwing more and more money to learn the same lesson over and over at a higher expense. But if you could use this information, if you're going to trade for 20 years, your account's the lowest it's ever going to be. Think about that for a minute. 20 years, you'll have more money than you do today. When do you want to learn the lesson? Now with a $5,000 account, or when you have a $500,000, right? If you could learn the lessons and they cost you very little, all right, that's the education. That's how you pay for an education in the market. Losses that are transformed to actionable ideas because of the info. So again, you're not losing, you're buying information.
That's a great point, Georgie. That's a really great point. And we'll move on to the next one, which is, you know, kind of reflective of everything that we've been mentioning here. And that's just simply, you know, one of the other strategies you can apply is just to keep the bigger picture in mind, right? So like we said, the way that you, the losses that you take, you know, no single loss should be able to wipe you out, right? And that's following proper risk management. But really what I'm trying to get at here as far as the bigger picture is that you want to remember that any individual trade, if you look at the bigger picture, you know, the individual trade doesn't really mean that much. If you look at 1,000 trades over the course of a year, or in George's example, 20,000 or so,
yeah,
how important is that single loss, right, in the whole context of things? If you really think about it, and I'm asking this genuinely to the audience, right, to whoever's listening, if you plan on taking 20,000 trades throughout this year and you're following risk management, right, granted, you're not going to get to 20,000 if you're risking 100% of the capital on the first one or the second one. You know what I mean? And so if you really think about it, if you're properly position sizing, if you're using correct risk management and you take 20,000 trades, what does that one single trade really mean? It doesn't mean anything, all right? It doesn't really mean much. It's just a statistic. It will mean something if you didn't follow your plan, right? That's an opportunity to learn. But as far as whether it's going to make or break your account, it's not going to do that, right? So just always remember to keep the bigger picture in mind, because oftentimes, especially if you're day trading, we tend to forget the bigger picture and we start to focus on, you know, the minuscule, the intraday action and seeing things whipping up and down and seeing the potential profits that you can make in that. We lose sight of the bigger picture. So just remind yourself, you know, maybe put a note on your monitor or your screen. Just remember the bigger picture.
And I love that. It's just simple math. The more trades that you take in your career, the less any one of them, the first one's going to be important because that's your whole body of work, right? But yeah, the more trades you make, the less important the next trade's going to be. And so if you think about it, every trade you make devalues the quality of that decision the moment you make it. It saturates it, right? And if you want to keep the bigger picture in mind, let's go a step further. You know, trading in itself isn't your life. It's what you do. It's work, all right? The profits as a result of trading is life. That's the bigger picture. You know, focus on that. I'm shocked how quickly people get pulled into the weeds, and I've seen it get really dark into depression for some people based on such a, it's just a job. You know, do the job. And if the job isn't going well, what do? You come home to your family and you soak that in. And so keep the bigger picture in mind with trades, a number of them, but also, like, remember, this is just a job and it could be fun. It's one of the best jobs in the world. But at the end of the day, you're just doing work. Treat it like work and you'll start to, like, we make it too important, right? It's like we put too much stigma and importance and that puts so much pressure. Remove all that. It's just another job. You don't go out there and before you start sending an email, start panicking and sweating. So why do that during a trade? Just doing a job. The problem, I think, Marky, sometimes is when people start with capital they can't afford to lose. It's like, you know, you take your kid's college money. I got to flip it to be four times more or else I'm screwed. You're going to lose. That money will get picked off of you from your pocket one trade at a time until you lose it. Because if you can't lose the money, you're trading with that old reptilian brain, not your the one that you need to be trading with. So, you know, that's what I'm going to say in that. I, when you said those two words, big picture, it's like rubbing the lantern for like George, the philosophical genie to come out. So you did
I've actually got a new nickname for you when you go on the philosophical rants, and what's Philosophazov. That's it, Philosophazov. So we're getting some Philosophazov Fridays.
Yeah. That's good. I like it. I'm going to run with it.
I love it. Perfect. So another little strategy that you guys can use, and you know, I kind of alluded to this earlier, is to evaluate your losses kind of like a third party manager. So just imagine, you know, imagine doing your own journal review, but imagine that instead of you doing it, you've got a risk manager standing behind you or over your shoulder as you replay the day and evaluate those losses, right? The idea of doing this is essentially to remove that attachment to it, right? Because oftentimes, if you had a bit of a crappy day, there's going to be some emotion attached to that result, right? And so a lot of people, you know, through experiences, through my own experience, through experiences with coaching other people, you know, a lot of people will kind of forfeit that, I guess they'll forfeit that behavior because they don't want to relive those emotions that, you know, that result gave them, right? So the idea of detaching yourself and kind of looking at it as if you're not yourself, but you're a third party standing over your shoulder, kind of helps you detach from that result and keep those emotions at bay and really keep the evaluation objective, right? And that's really the whole idea, is to remove that emotional connection to the event and focusing on evaluating the losses and identifying the key areas of improvement going forward. And one of the things that you'll really want to do, and again, we kind of alluded to this earlier, is really, really be able to identify or have a strict strict criteria for what you consider to be a bad trade and what you consider to be a losing trade, right? Because those are two different things, right? I mentioned this earlier. A losing trade is effectively a trade that you follow your plan, you follow your process, you follow your criteria. It just doesn't work out. All right. It is what it is. That is cost of doing business. But if you have a trading plan in place, if you have the strategy, if you have the risk management, and you're reviewing that trade and none of those criteria were checked off and you still went ahead and did it, that's a bad trade. And you know, that is the trade that you are gonna, you know, it's the one that's not part of your strategy. And regardless, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a loss. You can review your results and it could have been a winning trade, but the trade wasn't part of your plan. And that is what you have to focus on, right? Because whether you win or lose money, you're gonna have to identify, are you following the plan and are you doing what you should be, right? And if you've got the emotional connection to the results, especially if it was a losing trade, it might be harder to do that. So separate yourself from that emotional connection by, you know, consider you know, hiring yourself a third party manager, which just so happens to be yourself.
I love that concept. You know, be the boss and then be the worker. Because if you fire your boss, you still have a boss. It's you. And you might find out that you like that person less than your previous one. So you're going to have to work on it. And I also love the concept, Marky, that a winning trade isn't a good trade always necessarily. It's the flip side of a bad trade isn't a bad trade. But if you win one, if you're getting away with something that will eventually cost you money over time, this one time you might have made money and it doesn't work out. And I like the accountability partner. You know, this is one of the big benefits of Trade Pro Academy. You have people in there chatting with one another, sharing results, sharing journals, sharing it openly with the community, asking for feedback, giving you feedback. You know, you're really working with people to succeed for a common purpose. And I think that's the real strength of a community, is having an accountability partner to help you with the job of getting a third-party assessment. Because it's not always easy to evaluate the work that you do. This is why we put evaluation as such an important thing in tests and all these other things in societies, because we want somebody's input. So when it comes time to trading, why not get someone's input? And I'm going to give you a little tip I'm planning to do, Marky. I don't think I've ever shared this with you, but like when my son Isaiah is 3 months at the time of this recording, 12 weeks, not 3 months yet. And, you know, why not share it with your kids if you have kids that are old enough to at least listen? You're going to teach them a way that they could be self-starters, entrepreneurs, teach them a way that they could kind of fish for themselves in this industry. And more importantly, you guys will share a bonding moment. So what you could do is literally in the week, just share the results with your kid. You know, it'd be fantastic. Great way to bring them in, show them what daddy does or mommy or whatever the situation is. And I'll tell you what, kids are going to ask you some of the smartest questions. I think that, you know, a lot of people say, can I coach with you, George? I'm like, go coach with your kid. He's going to teach you more than I can. Kids ask the smartest freaking questions. It's just mind-blowing. We teach kids how to conform to society. We teach imagination out of their system. And so when they're young, it's great. You know, that could be your accountability partner. It's a cute little activity. And more importantly, you're going to be bringing them into an industry. And you have somebody to talk to about it. Because at Monday at 9:30 a.m., if you're willing to risk more than you should according to your plan, you're going to have to explain that to the most important person in your life. And so, you know, it's a fun little activity you could do. Consider it.
I like that. I like that a lot. Something to consider if we do have kids of my own with my wife.
You will. They'll be beautiful kids. And he's gonna be he or she will be a great trader. And I want to do my review with your kid, too. We'll put the kids on a conference call and we'll get them go over.
TPA kids.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys are hearing the inception of the idea.
That's funny.
So really the last thing I'm going to add to this point here is, you know, I think George mentioned it perfectly. And the final thing here is, you know, outside of having, yourself as a risk manager, you can also kind of like create a persona for when you're analyzing your charts, looking for the opportunities, and versus when you're actually executing them, right? So George mentioned the boss versus employee mindset. And I think it's something that I want to dive into quickly while we have a couple of minutes here, right? So the idea here is you are not really attaching the results to any one of these, right? A lot of people get stuck in analysis paralysis because they have difficulty going from analysis to actual execution, right? And so the idea with this is that you can give yourself maybe a name when you're going to be the person doing the analysis, which is the boss, and then you can give yourself a name for when you're the employee, when you're just executing on those results. And where I got this from was actually a gentleman named Charlie. I don't remember his last name, but he used to be 2 Chainz, the rapper. 2 Chainz manager.
2 Chainz. Bracelets. Sorry.
2 Chainz. So while I got you on here, I'm just going to Google his name. I think it was Charlie Jabali.
How many Charlies could there possibly be in the world, Mark? Jabali. It's one of them.
It's one of them, right?
I really like Charlie. That.
Yeah, I really so like Charlie, that approach. Charlie Jabali, all right? So this is what he did, right? So Charlie Jabali was 2 Chainz manager for a while, and, you know, he was, by his own words, you know, super overweight. He was probably like 300 pounds. And when he was managing for 2 Chainz, his name was basically is Charlie, but when he was managing, he would refer to himself as CEO Charlie, all right? CEO Charlie. So he gave himself a persona when he was doing the job of the CEO, right? So whatever he believed would be the values would be, you know, the beliefs, the values and beliefs that a CEO would have, CEO Charlie would embody those. And whenever he was CEO Charlie, he'd be the physical and the mental embodiment of that CEO. So what Charlie did was he actually left that business and he decided he wanted to be a Nike sponsored athlete. All right, this was when he was 300 pounds. What he did in this pursuit, which, by the way, he did accomplish, and you can find, you know, videos on interviews. He's pretty popular on YouTube now as a result. But what he did in preparing himself to become this Nike-sponsored athlete was he gave himself the nickname Charlie Rocket. All right, Charlie Rocket. So to the same point, you know, he envisioned what, in this case, you know, Charlie Rocket, what that would embody, right? What would a Nike-sponsored athlete, what would their values be? What would their beliefs be? How would they go about their days? And when he was training to be, you know, Rocket Charlie, he was the physical and mental embodiment of that. So what you can do here, what I'm kind of trying to get at, is you can try to apply something similar, right? Maybe in your day-to-day life, you know, me, I'm Mark, but when I'm trading, I can be Trader Mark. And then I could be Boss Mark, and, you know, my middle name's Matthew. So I can be Boss Mark and Employee Matthew, right? So I can say Mark's doing this analysis, but Matt's executing on it. And that way you kind of detach yourself from, man, my analysis was wrong. You know, it's no longer, man, my analysis was wrong. It's Matthew was, did I execute the instructions I had? Yes or no?
Matthew did it.
I did it. Yeah. It's Matthew's fault, right? But you kind of give yourself that separation so you don't get stuck in that sense of paralysis, right? And similarly with the result, right? It's if Matt takes the trade and loses as a result, it has nothing to do with Matt personally, right? It's, was Matt following the instructions he was provided, yes or no? If yes, perfect. That's exactly what he should have done. Great job. Right? And that way it's no longer, I took this loss, maybe I'm doing this wrong, maybe, you know, I should have waited, maybe I should do X, Y, Z. No.
Wow.
What did the boss say, and what did the employee do? Did the employee execute on the instructions? Yes or no? If yes, regardless of result, that's exactly what should have happened.
That's fantastic. So what a great idea for Charlie. Like, I like it because two separate identities, Marky, means two separate value systems. And it means you could do two separate strengths. And to give you, to NLP this, if you really want to NLP it, that what you could do is You know, what's the one thing that most people are dissatisfied about where they work 9 to 5? Probably the person they work for. Let's say you don't like the boss that you work for. You aren't escaping the fact you're going to be a boss. You're going to be a boss. But what you could maybe do is start out with some brainstorming. What is the perfect boss? Write down the qualities, you know, the workload, what you would expect them to do, and then become that and name it a different thing. And to take it even a step further, create a different environment for it. You know, where do most people have the most authority? Unfortunately, it's not at work, it's at home. So if you have kids, if you're a father, if you're a mother, even if you're not, you know, create a space in your room where you're going to, even if it's a separate chair, where you sit down on the other side of the table, not where you trade. You don't want to get the two identities mixed. And when you're reviewing the stuff, go review it somewhere else. Go to your office, go to your backyard, wherever it is, set that as your like boss's office. And check into your boss's office, be that boss, and analyze it. It'll completely remove you as an operator from the picture and give you a separate designated space to do the hard work, which is the real work, is analyzing yourself and improving. And, you know, if it's, for example, if your kids play in a certain room, go do it there, because that's where you're usually probably saying, don't touch this, do this, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're spitting instructions. Go there and then go Matthew on yourself. Marky, pardon. So I think, you know, I didn't plan to say that, but I think that was the takeaway of the episode. How about that?
I like it. I love it. So moving on here, we got another two. And we're coming in on an hour, so, you know, for your guys' convenience sake, we'll wrap this up shortly. The next thing that you can do, another strategy you can apply, is to develop a routine after you take a loss, all right? And this is kind of more so from personal experience, something that I've kind of implemented a while back, and it's got, you know, there's benefits to it outside of being able to take the loss. It's more so for me to prevent over trading or revenge trading, but nonetheless, this is kind of what I developed for myself. So it's a routine after I take a loss, and the routine is basically to take a moment to journal the actual trade that I took and reflect on how well or how poorly I followed my process, right? And so oftentimes what this does is, again, it has nothing to do with my worth, whether I'm a good trader or not. It's just, did I follow the process? And if I can say, yes, I followed my process and I took the loss, it helps me accept it more as a cost of doing business, right? Whereas taking that moment to journal the trade and reflect on how well or poorly I executed the process, if my answer to that is no, I didn't follow my process, I've likely saved myself an emotional revenge trade. You know what I mean? Because how many times has it been the case where you get stopped out of a trade and almost immediately, you know, you jump right back in, or you tried the opposite direction, right?
That's never happened to me. Not in the last 54 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that tends to happen to a lot of us. And until you really have that self-awareness, this is a great little obstacle you can put in the way of preventing yourself from, you know, jumping on those emotional tendencies. So like I said, develop that routine, take a moment to journal it, reflect on whether you followed your process or not. And again, you know, give gratitude, right? This is something I implemented when I had that chat with the gentleman. Give gratitude, you know, whether it's a winner or a loser, especially if it's a loser, give gratitude for that loser. And, you know, just reaffirm that, you know, abundance is flowing into your life. That's a big thing to take. And something else I found interesting, you know, we like to do our bit of research for these episodes, make sure we're bringing you guys the best and most valuable content. There is this book called Sports Mind by this author called Jeffrey Hodges. And in that book, he basically outlined a process for dealing with setbacks. Now, granted, on the title of it, you can tell it's more geared towards athletes. But if you know anything about athletes and traders, you know, we're both in a high performance sport, right? So what Jeffrey's done here is he's created a bit of an acronym, and the acronym is ARIA, A-R-I-A. And that acronym stands for Acknowledge, Release, Imprint, and Affirm. So when it, you know, I'm going to explain this in the way that it would be to an athlete, but we'll get George. This is going to be interesting. We'll get George to summarize it for a trader. How about that?
Let's do it.
So, Aria, what does it stand for? So, the A stands for acknowledge. All right. First thing you got to do when you take a loss, acknowledge that the losing trade is not what you wanted or what you expected. All right. It was a risk that you considered, but it's, you know, you don't go into a trade looking or expecting to take a loss. So, first and foremost, acknowledge that fact. The losing trade is not what you wanted, what you expected. It is what it is. Number two, the release part of it. You're going to want to note the learnings from that trade, and you're going to really mentally release it, almost as if you're mentally throwing that trade away. All right. The third part, the I, is imprint. You are going to mentally rehearse what you wish had happened. All right. And you're going to do that twice, two times. This is what's suggested. You're going to mentally rehearse what you wish had happened. And finally, the final A, affirm. You're going to affirm that that is how I'm going to do it next time. All right. So that is the four-step process. A-R-I-A, acknowledge, release, imprint, and affirm.
I love that. Aria is a nice name for a daughter. If I have one, I might call her Aria. Daddy, why is my name Aria? Acknowledge, release, imprint, affirm. Yeah. Jeez, Aria. Pay attention. I like it. You know, it's applicable to trading. You know, you're acknowledging the loss. It seems very... When you read those out, I'm like, oh, geez, it's not very groundbreaking. But the most simple things are the most powerful. Like, how many people acknowledge their loss? They don't. They acknowledge it at 4 p.m. when after that one loss, they have 19 others. Well, that's not the right time to acknowledge it. In the moment, you acknowledge, hey, I took this loss. All right, let me release the emotion behind it. All right, let me imprint the fact that it either was part of my plan, and so I'm following my plan, great, or it wasn't part of my plan, so what am I going to imprint from that, that I should follow my plan? Affirm the positive of what could happen instead and what should be happening and just carry on. I really like that. I wrote a few more notes here, Mark, that I wish I could speak on. Can I? Do I have time? I have time.
You've got the time.
You know, I have a tip on a routine after a loss, and this is something I'm experimenting with these days. And my son's taught me a lot about trading. It's already been 3 months. One of the first things humans do, Marky, is learn how to recognize faces. They'll know who your parent is. In fact, they're so good at it that they're like a face recognition machine. Like, they're born with that innate ability. So you know your brain likes to recognize patterns. So you know what you do? When you're in a loss, this is very powerful. I've done it for 2 days this week, and it's actually helped me. Take your phone out, because it's glued to our hands these days. It's not very far. And take a picture of yourself and have a look at that picture. The human being could pick up so much about emotion and mental state from a picture of a face. That's what you're born with the ability to do. You're so good at it and you don't even know. Have a look at the picture. Is this somebody who should be getting right back in the market? Be honest with yourself. I'm telling you, there's a different look and you could spot it right away. It's a phenomenal thing. And that's kind of
actually very interesting.
Yeah, you'll see it right away. Like, your posture, you'll be slouch over, your face. And these aren't things that you have to look at the picture and say, oh, wow, you know, how is my smile? Usually on a subconscious level, you'll know right away. Is this somebody I would trust all my money to? Answer it like it's not you. Yes or no. Go on gut instinct, because that's what you're interested about. Your subconscious mind will tell you, is this somebody trustworthy of my money right now? Because whether you like it or not, when you do a trade, you are trusting yourself to manage your own money. And so look at the picture. It says 1,000 words. I have a few. If you want, I could send you for the show. Some of them aren't the greatest, all right, but it's helped. And then, you know, when you're jumping back in, we need to have tools. It's 2020. There's so many tools of how to decide should you get back in or not. Have you ever been angry at someone, Mark, before? You probably have.
Yes.
How long does it usually take you to, let's say, like, you get an argument with somebody. I don't want to know specifics because we're positive vibes only, but you get upset at somebody, you walk away. How long would you say it takes you to get back to the mind frame where you've completely released the emotion of that incident? I know it depends on how severe it is, but on average, what would you say?
Yeah. Nowadays, not very long, like a minute or two. Back before, you know, I could hold on to grudges for a while.
Perfect. And for anyone who's listening, you know, Mark is self-aware of that. If you're not, give it some time and think about how long does it usually take me to recover from these kind of negative events. And if it's 20 minutes, what makes you think that after you lose one trade, 2 minutes later, you could jump in? It's taking you 20 minutes to get over everything else. And how you do one thing is how you do everything. That's a sad reality of life. It's a powerful reality of life. And so one technology you could use and one episode you should listen to is episode 50 with Riker Savage. Get this little, you know, I love Greg Braden. I make no money on this recommendation. I have no problem. Get the Heart Math Institute monitor. It's weird. You clip it to your earlobe. Measure your heart rate, because it not only measures your heart rate, it measures congruence between your heart and your breathing. And so there's something called the green zone, where it means you're controlling it and you're calm. You can't be pissed off and be in the green zone. It's an impossibility. And so after you've taken a loss, if you know it takes you about 10 minutes to get over things, wait 10 minutes. Look at the picture yourself. Take another one. You know, am I good to go? And then measure yourself with that monitor. That's kind of like you're in. You're going back in the game. You're calm. And, you know, that's going to help you separate your trading from the frontal lobe of your brain versus the lizard brain that people typically lose a ton of money with. And then get pissed off at themselves with their frontal lobe, the logical brain. So I put a lot of advice in there. Take pictures. Yeah. It's creepy. It's weird. But I know when my wife says, hey, can you take a picture of me? I take one, and she's like, oh, come on. So then I started taking 20. And so if you scroll through her feed on her phone in the gallery, you have to like move your thumb 10 times to go to the next actual like picture. She takes a lot. And so that could be your phone too. Mine, like, if you do one swipe on mine, you're going to go back like a year. Because I don't take a lot of pictures. And so take a picture, look at yourself. And believe me, the subconscious mind knows what it sees. And that visual aspect is very important. I've been toying with that idea in my own trading.
That's really cool. It's almost like a physiological stop loss.
Yeah, because you know sometimes you see people and you're like, I don't trust that person. And you don't know why, right? Like, I don't really know, but something's off about this person. On the flip side, you're like, I really trust this person. That's not an opinion. That's a subconscious reading of the person. And you're so good at doing that. And how do you know you're good at it? It's 2020 and you're alive. It's worked for a long time. So I don't know. Something interesting I thought I'd bring into this.
That's it. I mean, you know, I'm learning new things as we're going through this episode. And, you know, that's really the final point that we've got for this show is, you know, just keep on learning. That's the last practical strategy, is just to keep on learning. You know, every single loss that you take, you know, ask yourself, what have I learned from that experience? How can I use it to improve and make myself a better trader, right? The thing that you want to do with losses is, and this line really kind of, I think, summarizes it perfectly for me here. It's see the implementation of the learning from the loss as an investment in your future trading career.
Mic drop. End the show right now. Mic drop. I'm just kidding. I like it,
but
man.
I think it's good enough to warrant a repeat. All right. See the implementation of the learning from the loss as an investment in your future trading career, because that's what it is. At the end of the day, that's all that it is. It's just simply an investment if you learn from it, right? If you take it as an opportunity to learn, it's probably going to be the best investment you ever make.
I love it, man. I'll give you my one little liner as a wrap up. Champion, it's short. It's brief. This is going to be good. I promise. Champions lose and losers win. So, you know, which one are you? At the end of the day, it's the one that you take the identity of. It's the one that you choose. It's kind of like that wolf story, right? Which wolf is going to survive? The one you feed. And so, you know, learn to reframe and treat a loss differently, and the world's going to change for you. And by even listening to this podcast, you've done a deeper dive into the reality of loss in our industry than most traders that ever start. So good work. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Exactly. And that's all that we've got for today's episode, Trade Pros. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen, especially if you're sticking with us an hour and almost 10 minutes in. We appreciate you guys. If you guys can think of one person that might enjoy today's show, please do share this with them. And if you guys enjoyed the podcast in general, take a moment, jump on iTunes, leave us a rating and review. We'd greatly appreciate it. Until next time, everyone, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks, Matthew. Nice doing this episode with you.
Absolute pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.